This is Suno, the East Indian American radio show where you don't have to be East Indian to listen. I'm your host, Shauna Singh Baldwin. Suno means listen. Listen today to a short story. It's called Montreal 1962. Montreal 1962 is the story of an immigrant East Indian woman. It's about a woman for whom a compromise of tradition would sever the connection to history, the connection to other women before her. This and your favorite Indian music coming up right here on Suno. Stay with us. You were listening to Ashish Bhadra on the electric Hawaiian guitar. And now for our short story, Montreal 1962. In the dark at night, you came close, and your voice was a whisper, though there is no one here to wake. They said I could have the job if I take off my turban and cut my hair short. You did not have to say it. I saw it in your face as you took off your new coat and galoshes. I heard their voices in my head as I looked at the small white envelopes I have left in the drawer, each one full of one more day's precious dollars, the last of your savings and my dowry. Mentally, I converted dollars to rupees and thought how many people in India they could feed for a month. This was not how they described emigrating to Canada. I still remember them saying to you, "You're a well-qualified man. We need professional people." And they talked about freedom and opportunity for those lucky enough to already speak English. No one said then, "You must be reborn, white-skinned and clean-shaven to show it, to survive." Just a few months ago, I remember we were called exotic new Canadians, new blood to build a new country. Today, I took one of my wedding saris to the village dry cleaner, and a woman with no eyebrows held it like a dish rag as she asked me, "Is it a bedsheet?" "No," I said. "Curtains?" "No," I said. I took the silk back to our basement apartment, tied my hair in a tight bun, washed the heavy folds in the metal bathtub, and hung it, gold threads glinting, on a drip-dry hanger. When I had finished, I spread a bedsheet on the floor of the bathroom, filled my arms with the turbans you'd worn last week, and knelt there, surrounded by the empty soft hollows of scarlet, navy, earth brown, copper, saffron, mauve, and bright parrot green. As I waited for the bathtub to fill with warm, soapy water, I unraveled each turban, each precise, careful spiral you had wound round your head. And soon the room was full of soft streams of muslin that had protected your long black hair. I placed each turban, in turn, on the bubbly surface and watched them grow dark and heavy, sinking slowly, softly into the warmth. When there were no more left beside me, I leaned close and reached in, working each one in a rhythm bone-deep as my mother and hers must have before me, that their men might face the world proud. I drained the old tub, and new colors swelled, deep red, dark black mud, rust, orange, soft purple, and jade green. I filled the chipped sink with clean water and starch, and lifted them as some day I will lift children. When the milky bowl had fed them, my hands massaged them free of alien red-blue water. I placed them carefully in a basin and took them out into our grey two rooms to dry. I placed a chair by the window and tied the four corners of each turban length to a heavy curtain rod. I took each one in turn, drawing it out 3 yards till it was folded completely in two. I grasped firmly at its sides and brought my hands inward. The turban furrowed before me. I arced my hands outward and it became a canopy. Again inward, again outward, hands close, hands apart, as though I was back in Delhi on a flat roof under a hot sun, or perhaps near a green field of wheat stretching far to the banks of the Bias. As the water left the turbans, I began to see the room through muslin screens, the pallid walls, the radiator you try every day to turn higher, the small windows unnaturally high. When the turbans were lighter, I set the dining chairs with their half-moon backs in a row in the middle of the well-worn carpet, and I draped each one over the top, as the Gidda dancers wear their chunnis pinned tight in the center parting of their hair. Then I sat before them, willing them, dance for me, dance for us. The chairs stood stiff and wooden as ignorant Canadians, though I know maplewood is softer than chinar. Soon the bands of cloth regained all their colour, filling the room with sheer lightness. Their splendour arched upwards, insisting upon notice, refusing the drabness, refusing obscurity, wielding the curtain rod like the strut of a defending champion. From the windows over my head came the sounds of a Montreal afternoon and the sure step of purposeful feet on the sidewalk. Somewhere, on a city named in English, where the workers speak joual, I imagined your turban making its way in the crowds, bringing you home to me. Once again, I climbed on a chair and I pried your turbans loose. One by one, I held them to me, folding in their defiance, hushing their unruly indignation, gentling them into temporary submission. Finally, I faced them as they sat before me. Then I took my favorite, the red one you wear less and less, and I took it to the bedroom. I unfurled the gauzy scarlet on our bed, and it seemed as though I'd poured a pool of the sainted blood of all the sick martyrs there. So I took a corner and tied it to the doorknob, just as you do in the mornings instead of waking me to help you. I took the diagonal corner to the very far end of the room, just as you do, and rolled the scarlet inward as best I could within the cramped four walls. I had to untie it from the doorknob again to roll the other half, as I used to every day for my father, then my brother, and now you. Soon the scarlet rope lay ready for me to use it. I placed it before the mirror and began to tie it as a sardar would, one end clenched between the teeth to anchor it, arms raised to sweep it up to the forehead, down to the nape of my neck, around again, this time higher. I wound it swiftly, deftly, till it peaked haughtily forward, adding 4 inches to my stature. Only when I had pinned the free end to the peak did I let the end clenched between my teeth fall. I took the saliva-darkened cord, pulled it back where my hair bun rested low, and tucked it up over the turban, just as you do. In the mirror, I saw my father, as he must have looked as a boy, my teenage brother, as I remember him. You, as you face Canada. Myself, as I need to be. The face beneath the jaunty turban began to smile. I raised my hands to my turban's roundness, eased it from my head, and brought it before me, setting it down lightly before the mirror. It asked nothing now but that I be worthy of it. And so, my love, I will not let you cut your strong rope of hair and go without a turban into this land of strangers. The knot my father tied between my chunni and your turban is still strong between us, and it shall not fail you now. My hands will tie a turban every day upon your head, and work that we may keep it there. One day our children will say, my father came to this country with very little but his turban, and my mother learned to work because no one would hire him. Then we will have taught Canadians what it takes to wear a turban. You were listening to a short story called Montreal 1962. It was written by Shauna Singh Baldwin. And you're also listening to Suno, the East Indian American radio show where you don't have to be East Indian to listen.
नहीं है रात मेरी के तुझको सुनते हुए ये तुझको सुनते हुए चांद देखता
A duet from the film Anjuman by Bhupinder and Shabana Azmi. The music was by Khayyam and the lyrics by Shahryar. You're listening to Suno.
शोला बाहर तेरी खुशबू जहाँ देखूं बस है तू। ओ हो इस हुस्न पे पहले कहाँ ऐसा निखार आया हो, तेरी इसी अदा पे सनम मुझको तो प्यार आया। अदा पे सनम मुझको तो प्यारा सनम है पहली बार आया हो, तेरी इसी अदा पे सनम मुझको तो प्यार आया। अदा पे सनम मुझको तो प्यारा हो, तेरी इसी अदा पे सनम मुझको तो प्यारा।
You've been listening to Suno, the East Indian American radio show where you don't have to be East Indian to listen. We hope you enjoyed the short story we presented today. If you'd like to send us one of your short stories or contribute in any way to this show, you can write to us at Suno, 1919 North Summit Avenue, Suite 9C, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53202. And your comments or suggestions are always welcome on the Suno comment line at area code 414-277-0840. That's area code 414-277-0840. Until next time, I'm your host, Shauna Singh Baldwin, saying namaste, khuda hafiz, sat sri akal, and goodbye. Mm-hmm.